This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Yeah, and we are joined in the studio now by none other than comedian Rod Quantock. Hello.
Hello, Justin. How are you?
How are you, Rod?
I love your work.
Oh, thank you so much.
You have to say the same.
Yeah, good.
Well, okay.
Absolutely.
Now, Rod, we'd like to start off the show by just having a bit of a chat about your background, how you got into the arts, and well, your work as a comedian. Just tell us a little bit about how you started and where did you start? What have you been doing basically to get to here?
Oh, it's 50 years now. How much time have you got?
We've got a lot of time, Rod. So you tell us.
I want the whole.
Well, okay. Here we go. So back when I was at university in 1968, I drank red wine for the first and last time, and got very drunk and went up to a rehearsal for an architect's review at Melbourne University. And I said, I've got some ideas you might like to use. So I told them my ideas and they said, well, look, probably the best thing is you just go on stage and tell people what you just told us. So that's what I did and that's how I started. And on the opening night, a show that was meant to finish at about, perhaps 11 at the latest, finished at 1:30 a.m. and I had to cut an hour out of what I was doing. So I think I was a natural.
Just telling a story, and that's how it started.
Yeah.
And have you found, I suppose, over the last 50 years, that that's just how you just, is that the process in preparing
for shows? Absolutely, yeah.
Presumably you've learned how to edit, though, since then?
Unless a television show wants to know where you're standing and where you're going to walk and how loud you're going to be and what you're wearing, I don't ever write anything.
Wow, it's just all off the top of your head.
Well, no, not necessarily. It's a long thought process about what I want to talk about. And once I work out what I want to talk about it, then I get up in front of people and they tell me if it's funny. If it isn't funny, I throw it out and try something different the next night.
Wow.
But it used to take me about 4 nights to knock an hour's material into a reasonable shape, and after another week, generally with a joke, there's only one way to tell it, and when you find that, you stick with it.
Wow.
And besides the comedy shows that you do, Rod, you've actually done some work in television as well.
It's been a long time.
It has been a
Nobody
while.
Nobody stops me in the street anymore and says, oh,
so
you're
not a you're not a recognised face. That what tell us.
No, I think you've got to be probably under 50, preferably under 40, and you've got to enjoy panel shows. And if you don't fit that criteria, then you don't appear much on television.
Is this specifically as a comedian, you think?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But look at television. It's all cheap. Quiz shows, panel shows, whether it's about football or winning a car, it's all the same thing.
Mm.
Minimal pay, very few crew, no money for writers. It's commercial television's been hit very hard by the internet.
Yeah.
And the fact that it never really had much substance anyway. There's a bit of work, I think, for actors. But for comedians, if you don't fit that mould, you just don't make it. You can't be like Noni Hazelhurst, for instance, who what seemed to be a career that ended 20 years ago now is blossoming because she's a woman of her age who's had a lifetime experience and is a great actress.
Yep.
And there are roles for people like that.
Okay. But your work on television has just mostly been with comedy.
Always. That's all I do, yeah.
And so that sort of role, there's not much of a role.
No. Okay. There's no... you see things like Charlie Pickering's show, for instance, but there's nobody under 40 on that show. Mm.
Okay.
And then everybody thinks I'm a communist, so that doesn't help either.
So now, with the show that you've got at the moment, you're going to have
the coming up show.
So what have you based that? As you said earlier, you don't actually script things. So have you got an idea as to what you'll be
I've got 10 minutes in a very long show with other comedians, musicians and singers. And it's to launch what's called the Ian Potter Performing Arts Centre. I always forget the name of the theatre at Monash. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but it's in the theatre at Monash, which has taken on that new name. And the theme of it is progress. So everybody there is meant to, in some way, address the idea of what progress means, whether it's good or bad, whether it's going forwards or backwards.
And so, well, I suppose without giving anything away, Rod, what does progress mean for you?
Disaster, basically. Just we're hitting so many brick walls in civil society, in the natural world, in the financial world, that anybody who thinks tomorrow's going to be better than today hasn't been paying attention. So I'm a comedian, I'll make that funny. But
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, it's very dark.
It's dark apocalyptic. Comedy.
I guess we have to come along to find that out.
you absolutely do. But these are stories I've been telling for 15 years or more now. The writing's been on the wall for many things, and people who paid attention in the last week would have seen a report that said a million species are due to go extinct in the next 10 years or so, 12 years to stop global warming. Well, 1980 was the time to stop global warming. So that's not going to happen, even if, you know, we all walked home and didn't turn on a light switch. If all 7.8 billion of us stop burning fossil fuels tomorrow, it's too late. Mm. So, look, there used to be a time when I didn't talk to people about it, and I just thought it's about time people understood exactly where they are. And this current election makes it very clear that climate change, while it's a big issue, particularly for young people, is not an issue for politicians, and they're not willing to make those impossible things to ask, really. You've got to tell people they can't have a honeymoon in Hawaii or they can't get married on a beach in Fiji. God knows why you'd want to do that, but people do want to do that. You know, my daughter has had invitations to weddings in New York. You know, come over on Tuesday, we're getting married on Thursday, and come back again on Friday. And it's just mad. I mean, it's just madness. But that's what people expect.
So I suppose then the question is, do you have much... Well, I know obviously the politicians have some sort of control. Do you have any hope that maybe the next generation along might make more of a progress, I suppose?
You look at Greta Thunberg, that young girl who started the school strikes.
She's a Swedish activist, isn't she?
She's a Swedish schoolgirl who just was smart enough to work out what the majority of adults on the planet haven't worked out, that we're all going to hell in a handbasket. And she said, I'm not going to put up with it. So what began as her just sitting out on the steps of her school every Friday has turned into an international campaign. And it's fantastic. And the Extinction Rebellion, who blocked the streets of London and have got the UK government to declare a climate emergency, are doing wonderful things as well. But as I say, it's too late. But that's what happens in human affairs. Nobody does anything until it's too late. It's in our genes. So anyway, I'm just talking about the fact that progress is not a viable thing.
How do you... You know, obviously these are really serious and heavy and in a lot of ways important, dark topics. How and what is your process for making that comedic and actually translating that message to people in a way that they're receptive?
I mean, lots of people ask me that, and I can't actually give you an answer except to say that we live in a world of real genius. We have genius in the arts, genius in the sciences, in technology, in architecture, in all sorts of things. There's something about the human mind that is just extraordinary. And in the face of that great gift, we've pissed it all up against the wall. And I got myself into a position where I think that's really funny. I just think it's really funny that we're so stupid. I mean, I'm part of it, and I'm not going to walk away from whatever the future holds, hopefully not at least in the next 10 or 20 years. But for young people, it's existential. Mm. You know, it is a matter of will I be alive? No, it's not a matter of, you know, will I have an aeroplane flight or will I have an iPhone? It's a question of will I be alive? Where's the food coming from? Where's the water gone? Why is it so hot? You know, so these are really, I mean, this isn't a topic for an art show, but you did ask me, so I blame you. So, yep. No, these are really big questions, and I mean, I get some joy out of the fact, I use that word because that's where I am, some joy out of the fact that that young schoolgirl has been able to ignite millions around the planet, and those millions will keep going and they'll grow. And, you know, in a city like Melbourne, you know, there's a proud boast on the front of the Age today, $100 million or $2 billion for some sort of tunnel or train link or something. It'll just be an empty hole in the ground. People will live there because it'll be cooler than outside. But that money should go into water and food. Mm. That's what people need. So everything else is superfluous.
When are you performing at the festival? What night?
Oh, it's next Friday night.
It's next Friday?
At Monash. I'm not sure what time it starts.
It's at the university's Clayton campus, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay.
And the show is called Progress, a Festival of Ideas, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, so yeah. There'll be other people having cheerier ideas than me, so it won't all be miserable. You know, Tom Ballard is emceeing it, and Tom Ballard's just a fantastic,
great
very
comedian.
Bright, very intelligent, very thoughtful comedian. So I think it'll live up to what Monash wanted, which was to get the arts to engage in this one single idea and to poke sticks at it or celebrate it or whatever. So
great.
You asked me what I was going to do, but now you know.
And that's one part of it. But there's like 15 different shows, I think, all as part of that.
Oh, yes, this
festival.
Is just
a 10-day festival.
It's actually a festival around the idea of progress. So this is the sort of launch, I think, of the whole of air. Yeah.
So that's on, I think, from the 16th to the 26th of May.
That's right,
At the Monash Centre there. So, well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Rod.
I'm glad I could come and cheer you up. And
thanks, Rod.
And all the best for the show and the festival
thank
as well.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you all.
Thanks, Rod.
See you later. I've got a world to save. Bye.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine.
Going out the door now. Squeak.
There he goes, out of the studio. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.